Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So I'm curious, have any of you ever heard of the Salt Cathedral in Poland? Well, I didn't know about it either for a real long time until in my previous life when I did tons of traveling throughout Europe. Some of my friends went to the cathedral and did a tour. Well, it is a salt mine, or used to be a salt mine there in Poland, and a really important one too. It's no longer open as a mine, but the original miners left behind something really powerful. So while they were mining and trying to get to the source of the goodness of their salt as they were mining, they left a bunch of beautiful things behind. They left rooms behind that they had mined. And in fact, they also left a chapel. They had mined out a part of the mine so that it looked like a church, so that it was a church. They had pews, and they even carved an altar, and they have this gorgeous chandelier. I've seen photos of it. This gorgeous chandelier, the salt was carved so thin that it looked like crystal. Absolutely stunning. And this beautiful cathedral had me thinking about church as the salt. So don't think of, like, the wider church. No, my voice changed, the wider church. Think of us, this congregation, as salt for just a moment. At one time, this church, as many others, was sort of a really important beacon of great value. In fact, think of the original building. If you've seen photos of it, or maybe you were in that original building, downtown Honolulu, in the middle, the hub of all good things down there, really an important place in the midst of the town. And then this church was constructed many years later, also really an important beacon, an important place of value in this neighborhood. Well, back in the 1960s, and I would say even up until probably the 80s, churches like this one were deemed to be of huge importance for communities. In fact, churches would just pop up all over the place, and they would all be known for different things and very important for those things. People filled them. People flocked to them for community and fellowship and God. And then here we are today. We still flock to this place, but not in the same numbers as we used to. And I wonder, how have we reached the point where our churches, are they still like salt? Or are they taken for granted? Are they beacons in the communities? Or do we just assume they'll always be there? Well, I think for most people, they expect churches to be around. Most of the time, people walk right by, and we just know that they're there. It's a little like a salt shaker in your kitchen. You know, you just know it's there when you need it. Take it for granted. When folks, in fact, think they need the church, often the time is a funeral or a wedding, or I don't know how many calls in my last congregation I would get, a little bit here too, of people wanting to get their baby done. They know the church is going to be there for a baptism or a christening. They sometimes forget or don't know the tradition they're talking to. But they're expecting church to be present, just like we expect our salt shaker in the kitchen to be there whenever we need it. I wonder what happened to our sense that we are salt for the world. I wonder, have we become more like that underground deposit of salt rather than like salt scattered across the globe? Deposits of salt by themselves are not much use to us. They go unnoticed. Even if they are transformed from the inside, like Poland's salt mine was, very few people realize they're there. They're hidden underground. Salt has to be brought to the surface, has to be opened up before it becomes a commodity useful in preserving and preparing food, useful in flavoring the world. And salt above ground, out in the open, it creates transformation. Mine salt, and people start looking for more. They start to discover new possibilities. sprinkle it around, and revolutions can begin. People see that life can be different. The taste is even more powerful. So I wonder, what does that mean for us? If we stay here where we are like salt in a mine under a lake or under the ground. No one knows that we're there. If we create something beautiful here in our own church and keep it here, we're like that Polish salt mine, an intriguing place for tourists and visitors who like the things that we offer, or maybe even for a few brides like who flock to that salt mine in Poland. But not an exciting force in the world. But if we mine our salt, if we dig deep into scripture and prayer and worship, we will start, I know, to discover possibilities that we have never, ever thought of before. This past week, a group of us gathered with our DEM, our Director of Evangelical Mission. He is the person in the bishop's office who does just that, directs people in mission. And that E word, that evangelical thing, you probably got a hint about what he's talking about. He came to talk to us about who we are as a community of faith and how it is that we're called out of this place on the corner of Dominus and Punahou. I think if we start salting our neighborhood, perhaps, if not certainly, a mini revolution will begin. It will begin a brand new vision of life and energy here on Punahou Street, but throughout Makiki as well, into Waikiki and probably beyond. Salt was a really valuable commodity long before Jesus' time, but also particularly within Jesus' time. Salt was from the earliest times of the life of the Hebrew people. It was a sign of God's promise to them and of their reverence for God. Salt, it was this valuable, hard-won commodity. It was a sign of the love of God and the relationship with God. In the Jewish life, it was and still is a sign of life. A sign of God's covenantal relationship with God's people. A sign of God's presence and promise of love and care. Those biblical allusions, those understandings of what salt was, would have been known to Jesus as he spoke these words. And they would have been known to the people that Matthew was writing to and speaking to as well. They knew the value of salt, and they knew that presence of God and the promise of salt of all things. In our reading today, Jesus is still up on the mount. He's doing the Sermon on the Mount that we've called it, that blessing of the many. Then he throws in these words. He says, "You are to be salt seasoning," if you read the translation called The Message. You are to be salt seasoning. The gospel text that we read from today, from our translation, said that you are to be the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. It doesn't say you are here to eventually become, nor does it say you will someday be, or you might be, or you could be. It says you are already the salt of the earth. Imagine what these first words meant to Jesus' followers and to Matthew's listeners. They already knew what salt meant, that visible and important presence of God, God's covenant, God's love. Now they were told something even more, something else, that we are God's presence, God's covenant, and God's love to others. We are the salt of the earth. Jesus is paying attention to the prophets, to those who proclaim justice, to those who clarify what we are to do. Jesus says, "You are salt. Bring out the flavors in this world." And it doesn't happen by leaving God's gift of love buried deep under the ground like a salt mine. It doesn't happen by allowing it to remain beautifully hidden like that salt cathedral in Poland. not merely by saying, we have all that's needed here in this wonderful church that we run. We can store God's love safely right here. It's beautiful, isn't it? No. Instead, I think we are leaving the saltiness to ourselves that way, locked up here in this beautiful place. I think we're called to scatter it about, to be flavoring and spice around the communities that we're in and the workplaces that we serve and the neighborhoods that we live. Our call this morning, I think, is pretty clear, but it's not just this morning, it's all the time throughout the Gospels. Every day, Jesus comes and calls us and says, you are the ones. You are the salt. So mine it. Dig it up. Pull it to the surface. Scatter it around a world in need of the taste of the Lord. And remember that salt glistens in the presence and the promise of God, as do you. For you, my friends, you are the salt of the earth, as you are also the light of the world. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.